Okay, final round of the PGA Championship in Oklahoma. Mito Pereira holds the lead by one stroke despite being three over through 15 holes in his final round. He's six under for the tournament. He leads American Justin Thomas now. He is five under par through 17 holes and three under for the day. Will Zalatoris, two over through 16 today and back to four under for the tournament. And, well, the best of the Aussies, Cam Smith, who finished even par for the tournament, and he shot a 1-under 69 in his final round. Lucas Herbert also finished even par, and he shot a 1-over 71 in his final round. Heroes and villains this Monday morning, give us a call, 13 53 53. Send us a text, 0419 767 272. Stacks of Texie, heroes Shane and Jack and Cody Simpson for making the Aussie swim team. Villain, the hapless bunnies. Cost me picking the perfect round for the first time ever. No name to that one. We've got also here, villain, JWH. And the Bunker Boys must have been outside giving their guide dogs a drink. Hero Trent Barrett for growing out gracefully. No name to that one either. By the way, yeah, the Jarrawarrea Hargreaves incident there on Saturday night in the loss for the Roosters against the Panthers. So he was given a grade one contrary conduct charge. So he gets an $1,800 fine and a void suspension for his verbal there at the referee, Jared Sutton. And he swore, you know, he can't do that. You know, he shot on James Fisher-Harris, led to an eight-point try. That's not an eight. That's honestly, again, Loz. The guy is diving to score a try.
I know, Mido. I know. I've said it before, but the letter of the law says that it is in the process of scoring a try. You know, I can understand Jared's frustration there because, you know, you're going in to try and stop a try. And, you know, there's mitigating circumstances. He's falling. You're trying to wrap your hand around the ball and stop it and all those type of things. But he made contact. But then to remonstrate with the way he did with the referee, obviously is unacceptable. You just can't talk to a referee like that. As much as you're frustrated, you've got to walk away. You've got to be able to contain your emotions and, you know, vent your frustration somewhere else. But you can't directly aim it at the referee. But, yeah, you know, I think some players have a reputation that precedes them, and Jared's certainly one of those guys that any time it looks like, you know, there's a little bit of, you know, drama there, they always seem to go against that type of player. And I think that's because of the reputation they've built up over a long period of time, that they're always close to that mark.
And also on Heroes and Villains, Margaret from Richmond called up, and her nominations, Margaret's hero, Parramatta, for their beautiful win in the footy on Friday. Manly are her villains, and she says, bad luck to them, but someone has to be the loser, and she didn't seem too upset to be sticking the boot into the Sea Eagles. Good on you, Margaret. Hope you've been having your usual fill-up on the punt as well, following our experts' tips, and certainly Brad Davidson had another good day there on Saturday for those who were following him. The multi was a refund. Takuri was scratched.
Takuri was scratched on Saturday morning, Mido. When was the last time you reckon we ran on a decent surface here in Sydney?
Oh, about 16 years. It's been that long.
Covers, feels like forever.
Covers will fix it. I've been telling you, blokes, for nearly 3 years now.
Well, it looks like it's going to be another heavy track, at least this weekend, with the amount of rain
looks,
that's coming.
Looks bad again this week.
For the first 3 days of this week, it's unbelievable. So
amazing we got through the carnival. So poor old, think about poor old Brisbane at the moment. You know, that's a nightmare having to put the Doom and Cup back. They've got races.
So they're going to put extra races on the program, or are they shifting other races?
I would say they'll have to put extra races on the program. They're certainly running the Roses and the BRC Sprint, because the winner of the BRC Sprint gets a ticket into the Stradbroke in the following week. The Roses they need to run in the build in the lead up to the Queensland Oaks. So they're running this weekend, but there are other races too that they're going to have to run like after the carnival.
Yeah, right.
So because, you know, they're black type races, and that's what you got to run them.
Yeah,
well, you got to run them.
Well, you got to run them, but you got to run them in safe conditions too. And they're going through, as you mentioned, what we've been going through and still are going through. I can't believe, honestly, the amount of rain we've had this year.
Yeah, it's incredible. We've got Jamie on the line. G'day, Jamie.
Morning, boys. How are you?
Yeah, going very well, thanks, mate. Who's your hero and villain for us on this Monday?
Heroes, mate, are the Cowboys. Well, I'm a Newcastle fan, but watching them play lately, they've been good.
Yeah, they've been superb. Superb. Do you think they can bolt that far and be a premiership contender at the back end of the season?
I hope they can.
Be a story, wouldn't it?
I know my team's going to be battling for the wood spoon, but, you know. good to see him knock Penrith from Melbourne off. That's all I'm going to say.
What about your villain?
Villain, I'll coach a local soccer team on the Central Coast, and I'm going to say the villain will be the ref. Yesterday, played his greatest play, which was good. We were winning at half time, then he called it off.
Why?
Apparently the ground was too dangerous, apparently.
Right. So it was it raining during the match?
It poured down at the start, then it stopped. So it was stopped raining by half time, but he called it off. The ground was too dangerous. And all the girls that I coached, they were all blowing up. They weren't happy. You know, so I don't know what happened there. If we get the points because we're winning 3-0, that's fine. But, yeah, I don't know.
You would be blowing up.
Oh, yeah. Especially when we're sitting on top of it as a team that's not that far behind us, sitting in second. So.
Is it, what age group are we talking here, Jamie?
Under 14 girls.
And the girls were absolutely fine, no issues. They didn't feel like it was dangerous or anything.
No, they were happy to play. They wanted to get going. They loved it. They were just blowing up. In the sheds afterwards, you know, they'll just still get angry and yelling and whatnot. But they wanted to go back out there. But
let them play, Clarkie.
Oh, mate, don't start me on this stuff. Oh.
Let them play.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, no. Jamie, thanks for the call.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
You're in the mix there on the Central Coast. So Jamie's team, the under-14 girls side, they're leading. Referee goes, nah. During the ref just didn't like, you know, the conditions, him or herself. I didn't ask
in cricket way too... It happens way too often. You see a game cancelled because it's, you know, that rule, you can't go back onto the field if there's any rain at all. Yet... when you're out there, you can stay on. Mm. It can be bucketing down, and the umpires say, no, there's only a few overs to go, keep playing. I'm like, you can actually play cricket if it's spitting. If it's bucketing down, I get it, you can't. But so many times, I think games get caught off too early or you get taken off the field before conditions have even changed. Mm. You know, because the water comes out of the sky, it's got to hit the grass, it's got to wet the grass, and the ball's got to get wet to change or have impact in the game. Like, I don't know. For me, and I know cricket's different and you don't want to see people get injured, I understand that, but like even footy, mate, the wetter the ground when you're a kid, the better league was. Like, you want to dive 10 metres out and slide in for that drive.
Part of the fun.
You want to get up and you're like, you're just covered in mud. Mm. Like, I just think, I don't know, it's part of playing sport like you do. You want to play in the rain, I reckon.
Get dirty.
Mate.
They're worried about protecting their ovals, aren't they, the grounds.
Oh,
and councils close them at any
time. We've got the best grounds in the world.
Yeah, we have.
Like, you see the conditions where you're playing in other countries, even playing sport at the highest level. We're so lucky here in Australia. And we get good weather to be able to, you know, regrow your grass. Yeah. It's going to be okay. Our groundsmen and groundswomen know what they're doing.
Yeah, they do.
You know, they're unbelievable.
As a kid,
do.
You used to get that frustrated if a game got called off. So I can understand the frustration of all the kids when their games get cancelled. But to start and
we've had
it
COVID as well,
off.
Loz. Like the last couple of years, like junior sport's been called off.
Yeah.
So now, to me, you just let them go. Let them play.
Let them play. Get them out there. Now, Mido, I asked you about the last good track.
Yeah.
If Hatchie from the Heights is... correct. He's saying the 29th of January.
That's incredible, if that's true.
Wow.
So February, March, like we're talking 4 months, getting towards half a year. That is incredible. Yeah, right. 29th
covers,
of January.
Covers, I'm telling you. Private equity firm out there. Spend a bit of coin, get some covers, make some money. Good business.
We've got Jeff on the line. G'day, Jeff. How are you?
I'm good. I'm fantastic. How was your weekend, boys?
Oh, mine was very quiet, to be honest with you.
Mine was awesome.
Didn't do too much.
I went to Palm Beach.
I know, you told me.
I had a mate's birthday. It was a kid-a-thon. There was kids everywhere, but I had a ball. I had a good weekend.
Good to hear, Clarky. I had a ripping weekend.
Good, buddy. What'd you do?
Well, Carlton won Friday night.
Good
we
start.
We up with Saints, and then we had a one-year memorial for Mum, which was a great. We had a great awesome. Day yesterday.
Has it been 1 year, mate, Jeff?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, wow. Good exactly. Wednesday was, yeah. It's been a while, but yeah, no, it was good to celebrate it.
Good on you, buddy.
Good man.
Just before I get on to Heroes and Villains, a couple of weeks ago, I meant to get on, they were talking about, they had a front page article about ham. And that one was no good for you.
Yeah. We did have a chat about that.
We voiced our strong opinions on this. Sorry about that.
What a load of baloney.
Yeah, agree.
Anyway, my villain, right, and you found that funny, did you, Snorky?
I did.
Mate, just a quick one. Villains, right? My grandson plays soccer when he's six. They played one game this year, right? And they've called him off, right? What are they waiting for? To feed the cows? I mean, they've raced on heavy tracks since January, right? But it's okay because it's, you know, we get money. Well, the government gets money from the racing. Like, it's just ridiculous. Clarky, you just mentioned it before. Kids love that. Yeah. They want to play in the wet. It's great fun. I don't know what they're trying to protect. Yeah. Let them play.
Yeah.
Especially with what happened last year.
Yeah.
Seriously?
I feel sorry for, like the organisation or the referees, whoever has to make the call to stop it. I feel sorry that they're in that position. But I think in general with what we've been through the last couple of years, you just, like, make a bit more of allowance for them to stay out there and play, you know?
But you remember when you were young, Clarky, Loz, Jared, you'd love playing in the wet.
Sport was always better in the wet.
Playing footy in the rain was the best.
It was always
the
better.
Best.
Yeah. My hero is Dave Coleman, the Waratahs coach. How good have they been?
Yeah, Darren Coleman, he is...
Darren Coleman, yeah, they've been outstanding.
I watched the second half, most of it, yesterday, and they're playing it. They're good to watch. Their skills are really good, which has been an issue for the Australian sides in recent years. Not the Brumbies, but certainly the rest of them. They're good. They're well drilled, and they're a decent footy side.
Jared, Loz, you mightn't like this, but I reckon Australia are going to give the All Blacks a run for their money this year. I really do, and it pains me to say it because I love watching the All Blacks, and obviously I want Australia to win. But I reckon they're a chance this year.
Well, I always get sucked in. That's the problem with Australia. I get sucked in, and then they come back and they go terribly. But I'm starting to come around because I'm seeing the franchises here do well. And when was the last time we had like the Waratahs, the Brumbies, and if the Reds were at full strength, they'd be going a lot better too, by the way.
I reckon you're right, Snorky. I reckon they'll go okay. But anyway, it's wonderful to talk to you, blokes.
Oh, look, it really is. What are you being so philosophical about, Jeffrey? I'm worried about you now. You're being too nice.
Because I saw you on the Matty John show last night. You're actually looking okay, Snorky. You look really good.
Your outfit was good last night.
Outfit was good, but I'll tell you what, I had a quiet weekend, Jeffrey.
How dare you?
Snorky, that sports jacket, honestly, it actually suits you.
Yeah, it does.
But there is one thing.
There's your strip, Loz.
Yeah, but one thing he does, Clark, and just watch him, he sits there and he lays back and he sucks it in a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Right? Don't worry. He knows his angles. He knows how he's got to
work
see.
Work the angle,
got
to work the angle.
He knows which way he's got to tilt his head. Yeah. Don't worry. He knows. He knows what's going on.
Yeah. Talking nothing gets past me. You know that.
Righto. Bye-bye. You're back to your best.
Good on you, Jeff. Morning, Robbo.
Good morning, boys. How are we all?
Superb, mate. How was the weekend?
Very ordinary on the punt. some of these horses are going to win galoshes now.
You'll be back.
Yes, I'll be. There's always tomorrow. You know, that's the way it goes. Heroes and villains. Where were we? Heroes. I'll start with them. The Waratahs. And now I'll go back to the beginning of the year when I had a long conversation with you guys about Darren Coleman, and I said he was the man for the job. And I do believe he will be a future Australian coach. He's got them firing.
The thing is, yes, there are the personnel changes are pretty minimal. Yes, they get Hooper back, but a lot of players are there that were there last year. Charlie Gamble's a damn good player as well.
But a lot of those young boys have come on better. So they've experienced 2 years of pain, and they're starting to develop. And I reckon if you've got ability as a young bloke, and you've come through, and you've had a bit of success, and you've had all this talent, eventually you get sick of losing, and eventually you change the standards at the training sessions, and you become leaders, and the old blokes start to follow you. I tend to think that that's how it happens sometimes with rugby league teams, when you've got, you know, some young players getting an opportunity and they walk into an environment where they're not winning. Eventually, the younger players get to be the leaders earlier than what you think, and they sort of dictate to the older players what the standards are. And to me, that's sort of looking what's happened to the Waratahs.
Yeah, but Laurie, he's also got them together as a team, not individuals. He communicates very well with the boys, and I've got mates who know Darren Coleman very well, and they said that's the type of rate. He's a very good man manager, gets on very well with the boys as personally, but as a coach, they know the boundaries between, you know, what a coach and what he wants off the field, and that is the result. They're playing a lot better rugby, and they're going to go places.
Yeah, I haven't seen them play. I've watched the Brumbies a couple of times. I haven't seen the Waratahs play, but I mean, when you're defeating the Kiwi sides, that suggests that you're going well.
Who's your villain, Robbo?
Well, the villain and Buffhead is the bunker for that horrendous decision on Friday night against the little Manly winger. And I'll add in there, the Buffhead of the week is Buzz Rothfield. Because he said, oh, any contact with the head, you know, it's got to be dealt with. Now, let's go back early in the year. Mr. Volandis, Abdo, Anderson said any contact with the head will be fined or, suspensions. And they were adamant that any contact with the head. Now, they said the referee was there, didn't spot it. The linesman was there, didn't spot it. The bunker comes in and says, oh, he hit him in the head, penalty. They lose the game, no charge laid. And then Buzz Rothfield said, oh, he hit him in the head. Well, if he hit him in the head, where's the charge? Where's the fine?
Yeah, I get confused with the whole slipping part as well. Yeah, so if it's your, let's say a player slips, Loz, and the defender gets him in the head, we make a big thing of it, right? Let's say the attacking player slips and hits the defender's knee and it hits him in the head, knocks him out, breaks his jaw. Is that okay? Like, I feel like there's no leeway for a player, no leeway for a defender if a player ducks or a player slips. I don't think you can be penalised, sent off, suspended if the attacking player slips over or puts himself in a in a nasty position. That can't be the defender's fault.
Well, sometimes that's exactly right. It's like with these crusher tackles. Sometimes the attacking player gets himself in a position where he's trying to manoeuvre out a tackle.
Or trying to pass the ball.
Or trying to pass the ball, and he lands in a vulnerable position where the defender's got pressure on his back of his neck, and as they go down, it turns into a crusher tackle, but that's not how
they penalize
you
straight
wanted
away.
To do. Yeah. You didn't set out to do a crusher tackle. That's how it's ended up. And again, you know, you've got to look after the man carrying the ball, but I don't know. I get confused sometimes. I'll tell you what else I get confused by. And we talk about, you know, interferences from the bunker and things like that. There was a incident on the weekend where they pulled play up two tackles after the incident occurred.
Yeah, that's
to what? To go back?
To go back to it.
For a penalty?
For a penalty.
What?
It was in the Parramatta Manly game, and it was someone got held back.
The bunkers had time to look at it.
Yeah.
Gone to the on-field ref.
Gone to the on-field ref. And then
two tackles after the incident.
Two tackles after.
Surely you can't do that.
I didn't think you could.
Mm. And sometimes if the momentum is significant, Loz, that can actually be to the detriment of the attacking team or the team getting the penalty.
It was in the
Parramatta
Manly game.
What? Mm.
Two tackles.
We've got to take a quick break and come back to Jamie Rogers shortly in her Weekend News to Know. Thanks, Robbo. Time for JR's Weekend News to Know. Morning to you again, JR. Now, what do you make of the Lord Mayor's Cup and the day at Rose Hill Gardens on Saturday?
Yeah, good morning, guys, and good morning to all of our listeners. Well, hopeful backed up is fast finishing second in the Hawkesbury Cup by winning that Lord Mayor's Cup on Saturday. And that was his first win in Australia, and I thought he was ultra impressive. Kim Waugh's Bethencourt, who started favourite, actually finished more than 11 lengths behind Hopeful. And boys, I know we've been speaking quite a bit about Robbie Dolan on this show, but not so much because of his riding, but more so his singing. And I just wanted to throw in there, I saw this morning, he might be singing at Eagle Farm after the Stradbroke Handicap on June 11. I don't know about you, but I reckon I'd be very interested to go and see how he would perform. So, look, he's still booking plenty of riding, but he's also said he's booking heaps of music gigs because his singing's going from strength to strength.
Might have a career change.
Yeah, well, that's his plan, I think.
Okay, what's been the reaction to this morning's finish in the Premier League, JR?
Jared, we probably should be asking you this, but...
give it to him, Jamie.
Give it to him.
Aston Villa, just hold
it. It's got to be somebody else's fault, doesn't it?
Can't be just the better team won.
It was a bit sad, though, Jurgen Klopp saying that. Seriously. He said, look, Liverpool's agonising failure to win the Premier League title is the story of my life. As he said, he just settles for second place behind Manchester City yet again. Thought, oh, that's sad. And I did think of you. I did think of you, Jared.
Just remember what Kelsey Lee says. First is the worst, second is the best. You're fine. Just take it. You're okay. Second's fine.
Cool. I'm going to skip down the street today.
I love the disappointment in your voice. I love it.
I know.
French Open's underway, JR.
Yeah, it is, guys. So on day one, we saw Jason Kubler, who's the world number 161. He is an Australian. He won in straight sets over American Dennis Kudla, who's also ranked 80th. Alexei Popper and Tanasi Kokkinakis are both out. But Jordan Thompson is up against Rafael Nadal. This is obviously a really tough task. It's a venue where Rafael has lost just 3 times in 108 matches, but he's battling a foot injury, so you just never know. Isla Tomljanovic is also lining up today against fifth seed Annette Kontaveit, and Isla suffered a thigh injury at the Morocco Open on Thursday. Daria Saville is also playing today. But guys, I just wanted to also mention, off the back of what's been happening over on the weekend, Wimbledon has been stripped of their ranking points. Now, this is off the back of their decision to ban Russian and Belarusian players from the tournament. And this is off the back of the invasion of Ukraine. And tennis governing bodies have now been accused of siding with the invaders after demoting Wimbledon now to effectively an exhibition status. And it's going to have a huge knock-on effect in the rankings for players like Roger Federer, Serena Williams. So it was an interesting decision by the governing bodies.
And also the Australian Swimming Championships. So who has booked their tickets to, well, not only Budapest and the World Championships, but the Commonwealth Games as well?
So we've got 39 swimmers were named for the World Champs, and then 46 have been selected to go and represent in the Commonwealth Games team. So we've spoken a lot about him, but Cody Simpson has booked his place in the Commonwealth's team. Now, Olympic champion Ariane Titmus, she broke the 400-metre freestyle world record overnight. She won't be going to the World Champs. She made that very clear, but she had already automatically qualified for the Commonwealth Games off the back of winning a medal at the Olympics. So we'll see her at the Com Games. And Titmus also said, you know, it's actually really nice now that she's broken that world record because now everyone can stop asking her when she's going to do it. And she's basically just said she's the happiest she's ever been in her life, and the results are showing in the pool. Shayna Jack as well, guys, will be going in the 50-metre and 100-metre freestyle for both the World Champs and the Commonwealth Games. And we saw Zach Stubbluddy-Cook as well as Kaylee McEwen will both headline the Worlds and Commonwealth Games squad.
We've got Robbie Slater coming up shortly to wrap the final day of the Premier League. Now, they're on the final hole there at the PGA Championship. And Mito Pereira, the Chilean, trying to close out victory here on the last. Imagine having an approach here. You can't drop a shot. Here it is. He's got his approach to 18. 193 yards for the hole. In fact, this is his third shot. So he must get this close. Otherwise, he's going to be in a bit of... So he's off the green there. In a bit of rough. He leads by one shot from Justin Thomas and Will Zalatoris in the clubhouse.
Was that his third shot?
That was his third. So he's now...
He could miss
this could
altogether.
Be a real... In fact, that wasn't... this is Fitzpatrick. That was him. Sorry. So, late drama coming up here at Southern Hills in Tulsa, Oklahoma. But there was drama certainly overnight as well in the Premier League. And Robbie Slater's next. Now, he's just dropped the kids off at school. Had about 4 seconds sleep. Robbie Slater, good morning to you. Take us through the... the wave that was the Premier League final day.
Extraordinary. I mean, it's had some great last day dramas, and this will go down in history as one of them. I was fortunate when I won the title with Blackburn Rovers to be a part of one of a great final day wins where it went to the last day and we went to Liverpool and, of course, United drew at West Ham. But this, and of course, there's the Aguero one where Aguero scores in literally with the last kick of the game against QPR to snatch the title away from Manchester United. But this one, well, it's right up there. I think the Aguero one is still the best, given the drama that literally was the last kick of the game. But Manchester City were 2-0 down in the 75th minute to Aston Villa.
Robbie, Middo wants an investigation, mate. He reckons match fixed in
no,
Villa.
I don't.
He reckons Aston Villa match fixed.
Just hold on. How did they concede 3 goals in 5 minutes, Robbie? What the hell was going on?
It's the sport, mate. It's a tough game.
Because it's Manchester City, it's what they do and it's what they're capable of. But, yeah. And it was, the script was written. You had Steven Gerrard, Liverpool legend, managing with Aston Villa. And then you had the second goal scored by another Liverpool legend, Coutinho, to make it 2-0. And it all looked lined up for Liverpool. Mind you, Liverpool did it pretty difficult themselves. They were 1-0. They were 1-1 with Wolves. They went 1-0 down and then they equalised Mane. And it took till the 84th minute for Liverpool and Mo Salah to score. And then Alexander got one with barely a minute to go to make it 3-1, but it was all little in the end. And but I still can't believe it. That's why I'm umming and ahhing, because I really want to say other things, but I'm not allowed to.
Well, what about Leeds? They survive, Rob, and Burnley go down.
Well, I was involved in the launch of a tour to Australia in July where Leeds are coming out here with Aston Villa, of course, albeit this Barcelona playing an A-League All-Stars team. On Wednesday, I'm going to that. Manchester United are also coming to Melbourne. But Leeds, wow, I did the launch of that tour for Leeds and Aston Villa, and Brisbane Roar were involved in that. They'd be very happy this morning. I mean, it still would have been good, even if they had been relegated, but keeping their Premier League status certainly better, you know, for the fans. And that was extraordinary in itself. Burnley at home to Newcastle. It was quite simple. They needed to win to stay up. I thought they would draw. I thought Leeds would lose at Brentford. Brentford had won 4 out of their last 6 Premier League games and a draw. You always want to finish off the season good at home. But Leeds, wow, Rapinha with a 94th minute. So literally the last kick of the game to win. As it turned out, they didn't need to win. The draw was good enough. But the scenes when the second goal went in were extraordinary. And similar to the scenes we saw when Everton won during the week in that extraordinary game. We saw the scenes at Everton. So, yeah, it's been a special Premier League season. And Arsenal missed out on the Champions League in spite of a 5-1 home win over Everton. But Tottenham Hotspur demolished Norwich, who finished bottom and really deserved to finish bottom. Wow, they've conceded some goals in the last few weeks. And they lost 5-0 at home. But it's City's title. Liverpool do have one to go, though. The big one. They've got the Champions League final next weekend against Real Madrid to console themselves after what happened or transpired during the night here.
Hey, Rob, just on that then, because we always thought that it would be Man City or Liverpool winning the title, but who was your biggest surprise packet of the year? What club and who was your biggest disappointment?
I'd say Arsenal were the biggest disappointment,
yep.
Given that they recovered towards, would have been halfway through the season, and they had the Champions League fourth spot. It was theirs. They had two games at one stage in hand on Tottenham, and they were 5 points ahead of them, and they just fell in a hole. So that has to go down. Then missing out on the Champions League is probably, you know, the biggest disappointment or the biggest standout for me.
Yep.
The surprise packet, bit difficult because the top four, even given that I said that Arsenal were a disappointment, but those five clubs we thought would fight it out for the top four spots. So there was no real surprise. I guess West Ham, who pulled up a really brave fight and finished on 56 points. And they, at one stage, were in third position on the table. So I'm not sure if that's a surprise, but they're the ones that sort of challenged. The other disappointment is the obvious one, Manchester United. Terrible season. I mean, they finish, if you look at the top five, Arsenal ended up finishing 2 points behind Tottenham. But Manchester United were 11 points behind fifth-place Arsenal. That is just not good enough for Manchester United.
Oh, they lost to Crystal Palace this morning. Yeah. Brilliant. Oh, how good is it?
Brilliant.
What about on the text line here? Sucked in, Middleton. Liverpool are pathetic. By the way, they will also lose the Champions League final. And then this one, Australian football needs Robbie Slater back involved in the coverage of the A-League and the English Premier League, says KB at Newcastle. And just on that, so we have an all-Victorian A-League Grand Final, but not the one we expected, Robbie. Western United up against Melbourne City. Melbourne City, they took extra time to get there as well, but not the Melbourne Derby, I'm sure, that A-League executives would have preferred, but what did you make of what transpired over those A-League semi-finals and heading towards the Grand Final?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. It's not what they wanted. They wanted victory in the final, which is, would have assured a full house in Melbourne. They probably won't get one now with Melbourne City, who are the current champions and the best team. They've been the best team for the last three seasons, and they go in as favourites against the Western United side that smashed Melbourne Victory. And Victory were 1-0 up. They were two legs these games, home and away, and they beat them 4-1. Prijevic was their star, but trouble for John Aloisi, first and foremost, before I say what I'm about to say, has done a terrific job at Western United. He's come back to the coaching ranks. He felt that no one wanted him, and they didn't for a long time. And I always felt he deserved another go, and he's proven it with Western United. Finished third in the league. With a bit of luck, might have even taken out the Premier's plate, but he goes into the grand final. So it's a job well done to him. But the job to do and what needs to happen starting from next season is Western United need to find a fan base. They need to find an identity, because it's not that they have no fans, but in a professional sense, they have no fans. Hmm. So it's going to be a grand final, which I'm sure is two good sides are going to come together. But as a spectacle, I'm not sure they're going to get a full house at Amy Park. They may, if some of the just general football lovers go to the game. But given the evidence of what we've seen this season and the evidence of the two major semi-finals, Melbourne Victory played against Western United, you would have expected a full house. Well, there was one top tier completely empty, so I think they announced about 15,000. I'm not sure was it Melbourne City versus Adelaide yesterday, but it was probably about 8,000. So real troubling times, and I've done an interview with Danny Townsend, who was very honest in what needs to happen next season, and they've got the grand final to get through next week, and then they've got to get to work straight away for the start of the A-League next season, because they need to do what Danny said to me in his interview. They need to try and resurrect this competition after its worst season ever.
We'll preview the Champions League final with you on Friday, Robbie, and also the A-League Grand Final as well. Thanks so much.
And I should be back in the Premier League coverage, shouldn't I? Definitely. I agree with that.
KB at Newcastle sent that through.
KB, son. My dad used to drink KB. Remember KB? Did they make KB?
Yeah, they still do. I'm sure they do.
Hey, Rob, as a kid, the Australian Rugby League team used to have KB on the shorts and on the jumper, the logo.
That's all I
wanted as a kid was to get a pair of shorts or that jersey with the KB on it. Unbelievable.
Absolutely brilliant. Well, thanks, guys. Yes, we'll preview the Champions League final on Friday.
Good on you, Robbie. Thanks so much. Now, we've just witnessed, What did we just see there, fellas, at the last hole of the PGA Championship?
A meltdown.
Mito Pereira has double bogeyed the last. He's had five over on the day and finished one shot back. So there is a playoff now between... Now, I'm sure Gowie tipped us Justin Thomas. So Gowie tipped Justin Thomas. Dick Fain tipped Will Zalatoris. They're about to have a playoff.
We'll see which one's a better judge.
Gow versus Fain in the ring.
Well, we've got Dick on Wednesday and we've got Gowie on Thursday, and we will find out who the winner of this playoff holes will be. But you'd have to back, what, Justin Thomas, wouldn't you?
You'd think so. Zalatoris has had a very mixed final round. So he finished one over Zalatoris for his final round, whereas Thomas shot three under. So you'd think he'd be feeling pretty good about his game heading into this playoff. We'll take a quick break. Winner of Heroes and Villains, and Ron Duffacy on the other side. Big show, Punters Postmortem, Ron Duffacy joining us this morning. G'day, Duff, how are you?
Yeah, g'day, guys.
What'd you make of that program there at Rose Hill on Saturday on another heavy track, unfortunately, but that's just the weather, isn't it? What do we do about it?
It is, so it's very hard form to follow. I must say there was a lot of horses that were in the market that tailed off and just couldn't pick their legs up, emphasising, you know, just the difference between the different wet tracks. You know, some horses can handle the Randwick heavy and the Gosford heavy and the Hawkesbury heavy, and they won't handle the Rose Hill heavy. So it's pretty hard as a form student at the moment. There's no doubt about that. There was a few upset results there, and you know, a couple of really good performances as well. I thought the two-year-old was good, Madame Pomery. Hopeful set himself up for the Q22 in Queensland, and that... Filly from Victoria, Aravine, looks a real little Oaks prospect in her own right. So a couple of really nice horses there, but a messy program, I must say, as far as the weather and the track was concerned.
Yeah, I don't know whether you know, Duff, but like we were just talking this morning about, you know, wet tracks and when was the last time we ran on a good surface. And someone texted in it was late January.
Yep.
That's correct.
I think I'm talking about Saturday Metropolitan.
Yeah.
I would say late January, so wow. That's how bad it's been. And it is absolutely pouring at Randwick at the moment, so I think we can just lock in another heavy track for Saturday.
And you've got a feel for them there in Queensland, Duff. At least we were able to get through our carnival.
Yes, that was a bit messy there on Saturday. I think it was. I don't know whether how well handled that was. Everyone knew it was going to be off, and you had participants, trainers, jockeys, and all those, you know, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 7:30, 8 o'clock planes, only to be turned around at the other end, sort of half knowing that it'd be off, looking at the forecast and looking at the radar. There was always going to be 30 mils there on Saturday, and they would have only handled one. So anyway, they're on their front foot now. They've actually called off Wednesday and put a couple of those races onto Saturday. So it's going to be a super meeting there on Saturday with 10 races.
You mentioned a few horses there from Rose Hill on Saturday. What'd you make of Hopeful in the Lord Mayor's Cup?
Yeah, very good, because he was a shocker at Hawkesbury. He played up, he sweated up, he jacked up, he didn't want to do anything, but he was an angel there on Saturday and behaved himself, and he could well... you know, go to Brisbane and win that race. Arky won last year, that Q22.
Anything else caught your eye anywhere?
Yeah, I think with reservations, following horses out of that meeting, that two-year-old was good, Madame Pomery. No fluke in that, even though she was a 15-to-1 or $15 chance. And Lady of Luxury, I thought she did a really good job with a big weight first up, and she's in for another good prep.
Great stuff, Duff. Thank you.
See you, guys.
Punters Postmortem coming up shortly with the team on just after 9 o'clock. Now, as far as Heroes and Villains, I just want to read this text out first. Good g'day, boys. Long time listener, first time texter, villain Cricket Australia, leaving Payne out to dry after himself and Langer got Cricket Australia out of trouble in South Africa in the years after. They're spineless and always have been after not backing Roy in the Monkey Gate affair back in 2008, they need to look after Payne and his well-being after he failed to get a contract with Tasmania. They owe him. Hero, Raiders and Papali'i in his 250th yesterday. What a bloke. Cheers, Turtle. Good on you, Turtle. We're going to send you a Big Sports Breakfast pack. Thanks for texting in. As for our winner this morning... Gee, we had a lot of text here. We just didn't have time to get through, but thank you so much to all our listeners for sending them in. I'm going to give it to Jamie this morning, who made his hero the Cowboys. And his villain, well, he wasn't happy with the referee. The under-14 girls that he coaches called off there when they were ahead at halftime. Not happy about the ground. But, gee, we had a lot of texts on this. A lot of people saying this is being very regular at the moment. And, you know, people are obviously over-cautious, but kids are obviously being left very disappointed. And there's a lot of different thoughts and feelings on this topic we've had on the text line just too flat out to get to a lot of them this morning. But thanks for all the feedback on that. But well done, Jamie. Are you happy with that, Clarkie?
Sure.
Jamie's male, by the way. Sure. So, I do give winners out to all people.
We mustn't have had a female.
No, we had Helen.
Oh, didn't we give Helen one a couple of weeks ago?
No.
You sure?
No, well, I'm not sure.
Well, then I am surprised that Helen didn't receive it, being female. But, you know, you go with what you think. It's your competition.
You do one thing once and you just get...
That is very true.
Get chained to it for life, that don't is, you? Only you, takes, you would never know that.
Only
anything
takes
about
one little error and guess what? You're still talking about it 15 years on.
Thanks for all the calls and texts this morning. That's our Monday, folks.
Happy Monday, team.
Going quick.
Yeah.